This is episode 13 of the Software Freedom Law Show. We're back.
We're always back.
We are, but we're
back to the microphone.
We're back in New York.
Correct.
We're back from OSCON.
Yeah, but didn't we say this last time?
We were back?
Yeah.
From?
Somewhere.
The Collaboration Summit, maybe?
Yeah, that was months ago. Anyway.
It's
but between a week and a half to 2 weeks ago, we were at OSCON.
And it's pouring in New York now, so if you hear thunder, it's that's what it is, if you hear little rumblings. Although, I'm sure producer Dan...
He can't edit out thunder.
He'll edit it
no
out
one can
if
stop
we're
the
not...
Thunder.
No one...
So, did you have anything specific you liked at OSCON?
Actually, there were quite a number of things I really liked from OSCON. I think one of the things that's, well, obviously our panels went well, so I'm excited about that.
Well, that's thanks to our wonderful participants.
Yeah, and our participants were great uniformly on both of our panels.
You were both moderators in the end. We both moderated.
Yeah, it's funny. But I think the talk that stood out for me, or one of them that stood out the most, was Kiralee Roberts' talk. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing her name right, Kiralee.
That was a Thursday keynote, right?
Mm-hmm. And she talked about women in free software. And I thought what was so good about her talk was that she really gave sort of productive ways to encourage women to be involved and gave great case studies of projects that have been very successful, including women. And aside from just the quality of her talk overall, I thought that her message was quite good, and she gave really good and concrete suggestions.
And I liked Jesse Vincent gave a lightning talk about his work to basically get a free software distribution running on the Kindle. I've known Jesse for a number of years because he wrote the RT system, which I've used for various different things. And both organizations, actually every organization I've worked for pretty much has used it for something. And he's now doing all sorts of other types of exciting hacking. He's working on this Kindle thing. He's been doing SD, which is a replacement for RT that's completely distributed using his database called Prophet. He's also been doing some hacking on Android as well. He's writing applications, free software applications for Android. So I was pretty impressed at how prolific of a hacker Jesse has been in the last year, and it was good to hear him talk about that.
Yeah, no, I thought that was great too. And I was just actually looking because I forgot to look up what her name was, but also I really love that lightning talk on accessibility and medical devices, and which many of you know, sorry about the pun, it's an issue close to my heart. But I thought that was also quite good.
Yeah, and there was,
we'll put it in the notes.
Yeah, there was of course a big announcement at the beginning, which amused me because there was this big announcement at OSCON that was said to have taken place at 9 o'clock in the morning at OSCON, which of course on a Monday, which is tutorial day. And I was there at 9 o'clock in the morning. There was five people standing in line, so there was nowhere announcements from Microsoft there. But according to their press release, they announced there that they had licensed some. Device driver stuff.
Well, they did announce at 9, and they were present at OSCON.
Not at 9, though.
I'm sure they were there at 9 at their exhibition.
The Expo Hall wasn't open yet.
Oh, it wasn't open yet? Was that open at 10?
Yeah, no, it wasn't open.
Oh, it was
tutorial
Monday.
Days. It was Monday. It's
right.
Tutorial day. So I've written extensively about this issue in my blog. So rather than have yet another Microsoft-y...
What I thought was interesting, actually, I'm sorry to belabor, but in your blog post, you actually say that, and I actually wasn't aware of this, that this wasn't the first software published by Microsoft under the GPL.
Yeah, everybody forgets that they acquired a company called Softway Systems in 1999, which had some utilities for running basically GCC and other free software on Windows NT. And that product became part of Microsoft's suite of products, and they distributed it for many years. So the idea that Microsoft's never touched the GPL before isn't even true. And, well, it's just a bunch of PR stuff. Like it always is.
It's an interesting announcement, certainly.
And see my blog for more info.
And while we were at OSCON, also, we ran into our next guest.
Yes, we have to be cagey. That's your rule.
My rule is not to be cagey. My rule is to build up the excitement that that our guests have earned and deserve.
Yeah. So you just turned this into something me saying bad things about guests. I think our guests are great. I like all of our guests.
Well, I like this guest, and we'll be up soon with an interview with him. Well, Bradley, we have a very special guest today. Actually, you're the one who usually says we have a special guest today, but
all our guests
pleased
are
to be
special.
The one to get to say it today.
Yes, all our guests are special.
With us, we have Justin Ehrenkranz, who's the president of the Apache Software Foundation. Thanks for joining us, Justin.
Hi, glad to be here.
So I think the first thing we want to acknowledge is that Apache has a big birthday coming up, isn't that right?
Yeah, this is our 10th anniversary of the foundation was first incorporated in 1999, and so this year we've been doing all kind of a year-long kind of celebration. March, we actually celebrated the 10th anniversary at our conference in Amsterdam, but we're going to be having a U.S. conference the first week of November in Oakland, and we're going to be kind of having a number of free events open to the public. We're going to be having a big birthday party, and we'll be having some kind of free bar camps for people to come by, and if you're in the Bay Area or if you, you know, want to come out to the Bay Area kind of the first week of November, we'd love to have you guys.
That's great. So 10 years is a long time. How did you get involved with the Apache Software Foundation?
So I kind of got involved with Apache probably in about 2001 or so, and I was working at a company with Roy Fielding, who was one of the founders of the Apache Software Foundation. He was the initial chairman of the foundation, and kind of through that, kind of working with him, I got involved with the Apache HTTP server, and then kind of over time, you know, kind of contributed to kind of a infrastructure, kind of our system administration team, and then was eventually elected to our board of directors, and then was appointed treasurer for a while, and about 2 years ago, I was appointed president of the foundation.
That's really cool. And you mentioned Roy Fielding, whom I know. We had a lot of discussions about when we were working towards getting the Apache license compatible with GPL, which it now is. And people often think that I'm a pure GPL bigot, but I'm a big fan of the Apache license, particularly Apache 2.0. And I was hoping you could explain to our listeners some of the features of the Apache license, you know, how it works, what the philosophy behind it is, and so forth.
And why it's right for Apache.
Yeah. I think kind of the biggest thing at the time, and this is kind of about the GPL compatibility with the Apache license, was one of the first kind of major open source licenses to really talk about patent licensing. And it was kind of basically, previously most of the licenses were talking about kind of copyright, but they really weren't thinking about patents. I think that's kind of one of the main contributions of the Apache license. But it's characterized basically kind of very much similar in spirit to the BSD license. So it's a very permissive license. So it basically, it's not a copyleft license. I think that would be kind of your listeners would kind of understand that the copyleft term, and then it's not. And basically kind of our philosophy is behind the license is more about letting the developers kind of be able to incorporate, you know, the Apache license work in anything without worrying if it's commercial or if it's open source, or, you know, without worrying about really kind of any very little restrictions on the on how they can use the software. And I think kind of the one thing that we, you know, use is we use kind of, you know, say that you can't call it the Apache, you know, HTTP server. You have to call it something else. That gets kind of more into trademarks rather than to what it's an actual in the license.
Well, I think you're right to take the credit, and I will certainly back that up and give you credit. The Apache license really was the first to write an explicit patent clause but way back when. And it's evolved over the years, and I think it's a really good way to add assurances about patent issues into a permissive license similar to the BSD license. Of course, the BSD license has no patent clause, and I think that I just think it's great that you guys have introduced that into the free software world. And I think, frankly, that the GPL v3 patent provisions were heavily influenced by the Apache patent provision, because it was really the first one to try that in a free software license. So I'm happy to see it. for sure. And I think it's a great license. So I wanted to tell you that on the air so people know.
On the official record?
On the official record, yeah. On our podcast.
Thank you.
So do all of the Apache projects have the Apache license?
Yes. So we are kind of an umbrella organization, and kind of we have about over 100 different projects kind of under our umbrella, if you would say. And there's probably about, 75 top-level projects that are run independently. And then there's probably about, another 20 or 30 projects we call in our incubator, the kind of toddling projects, and they're kind of learning the ropes and kind of, trying to figure out what it is to be an Apache project. And then there's probably about another 20 or so what we call labs, which are basically single contributor projects where, someone who's already in the Apache community says, I kind of have the little idea for something. I'm looking for a sandbox. And so the Apache Labs is a good way to kind of further that need.
We've talked a little bit on our show about fiscal sponsorship and umbrella organizations generally and the different models. And I think the Apache Software Foundation is a really interesting one. I think it's actually set up a little bit differently than some of the other free software umbrella organizations. And you talked a little bit about sort of the different levels of projects that are a part of Apache. But maybe I think it would be really helpful if we could start sort of with how a project enters Apache. Do all new projects have to come in through the incubator?
Yeah, so looking at how do we as Apache manage this incoming flow of projects. And it was kind of one of the big things that was why we created the foundation 10 years ago, because we realized we had something more to share than just kind of the Apache HTTP server. We wanted to spread this out and make it available to any type of free software. So what we would do is now with this incubator, basically someone comes in to, sends an email to general@incubator.apache.org and says, hey, I have this idea for this project. Is anyone interested? And kind of one of the perks of being, kind of talking about a member of a foundation and kind of get elected, and so we have about 350 or so members of the foundation. In fact, we have about 2,000 committers all across the foundation. So about 350 of those members, any one of those members can say, yeah, I think that's a good idea. I'm willing to mentor this kind of podling and this proposal. And so that person can basically then kind of shepherd this kind of this new idea or this new project. Maybe it has a code base, maybe it has a community, whatever, and kind of get it in to the process of learning how to become an Apache project. And kind of one of the characteristics of Apache is we have a board of directors, but our board does not give any technical direction. Basically, we're there to provide social guidance and kind of any supporting needs, but on a day-to-day technical level, our board very much stays away from that. And so we let kind of the communities that are interested in that code base manage it pretty much autonomously. So they have free reign to, kind of technical decisions, what programming language, kind of whatever paradigms or tools or so forth that they want to use.
But it's really interesting that you have that mentoring process. I think that's a really excellent innovation because you're also, not only are you incubating new projects, but in some ways you're incubating new free software developers.
Yes. Yes. And so sometimes, people come in and, a lot of projects that come into our incubator are from corporate sponsors. So, the company has this idea and they want to open source this code base. So these are, very experienced developers, but they've never really had kind of any experience kind of in the open source world. And so this is kind of a way for them to kind of, learn kind of the ropes and kind of understand, okay, in kind of an environment that's kind of more of a positive and kind of a tries to be nurturing environment to let, these people, who are new to the open source world kind of understand, okay, this is how an Apache project works.
Do you find that projects wind up working together within Apache? Like, is there a lot of sort of interaction that takes place from project to project?
Yeah, I do think there is a lot of kind of intermingling. And so, we have, the 2,000 committers, and probably, it's very common to see intermingling between projects. For example, we have committers who are on, you know, the Apache HTTP server, you know, kind of the C server, but they're also involved with Tomcat, which is kind of a Java servlet implementation. And so there's a lot of cross-mingling there, and you'll see that kind of within a wide range of our projects where you'll see kind of intermingling between these. But you'll also see projects that kind of have very different philosophies kind of in Java space. One of the big things is doing a build system, and Apache offers both Apache Ant and Apache Maven, and they are probably kind of the two big systems, you know, for doing build systems, but they're kind of philosophically different. And so, you know, in Apache, you know, we're happy to support both of these projects, even though, you know, they do kind of represent, you know, kind of different philosophies about how, you know, a Java build process should work.
So projects, you mentioned, can come through the incubator. If a project's already established, is there a way that they can come in to the Apache Foundation?
Yeah, so everything would kind of go into the incubator. So
even if they've already got a project going and got some code already out there.
Yeah, and basically kind of what we see in the incubator is generally it's either going to be, one, they have an idea or they have a code base, but they need to build a community. Other times it's going to be they have a community, they have a code base, and they just need to kind of, you know, get a quick refresher course in Apache. So we have, you know, kind of one of the early projects that went through incubation was a project called Scam Assassin. And kind of the developers were kind of interested in finding kind of a legal liability because, you know, they were dealing in the spam space. And so they decided to come to Apache, like one of their early projects, to go through the incubator. And one of their big things was they had to do a licensing change. But they already had a community. They already had a product. But it was like, okay, now they had to get all the paperwork involved in order to, you know, get all of basically the kind of the everybody to agree to relicense them under the Apache license.
And one of the things that I was actually really curious about is that I know that I know that a lot of projects join 501c3s for the nonprofit status, and of course Apache is a 501c3, so they get all the advantages of that as well. And maybe you could talk a little bit about how that works for projects.
Yeah, so we're kind of a full-service kind of 501c3, and basically our mission is we want to let our developers develop. And basically anything that distracts our developers from producing code, we want to have the foundation kind of be there to support. So whether it be, you know, filing tax returns, running, you know, infrastructure servers, you know, handling events, handling publicity, those are the types of things that we feel kind of as an umbrella organization that we can provide to these projects. And so, you know, that's really kind of our goal with the foundation is to do that and to kind of basically free up the developers' minds so they can develop without having to worry about any of the, you know, the corporate, you know, issues of, oh, I have to run, you know, a 501c3 just for my project. And we can handle all of that for them. Kind of as a matter of scale, when you get to, you know, 100 projects, you know, we have some kind of matters of scale that kind of a smaller, you know, individual project wouldn't necessarily have.
So one of those things that projects often want to do is be able to collect donations to support the project. Is that something that the Apache Foundation is able to do as part of its foundation services?
Kind of one of the things that we don't support is kind of targeted donations. So we have had people in the past come and say, you know, hey, I want to support, you know, this particular project. And we say, you know, we're not about that. We're not about supporting an individual project. Now, that project can come to our board and say, hey, I want to get some money. And our board can say, yes. Because one of the things we do is we have kind of a centralized kind of sponsorship program. So a company can come in and donate money to the general kind of the Apache, and then our board and kind of all of our committees can decide, okay, well, hey, you know, this project wants to do a get-together. Okay, let's spend some money on that. So they don't necessarily, the projects can basically come and say, hey, I want to go spend money on this without having to worry about the donations part of it.
So the donations to any one project support all the services that you provide for everyone?
Yeah, so basically, we don't at this time take in kind of restricted or targeted donations. And if someone comes and says, you know, hey, I only want this money to go towards the Apache HTTP server, kind of our philosophy right now would be, you know, thank you very much, but we would not accept those restrictions.
Did I hear you that you said that, that there's also PR and marketing support? That's something that I've heard kicked around recently as a real need for free software projects, and that there isn't there aren't the same kind of resources as there are for other support in for free software nonprofits. Did I hear you right?
Yeah. So that's kind of one of the things that we have, kind of a what we call the public relations committee, and basically it's to kind of help a project come in and say, you know, hey, I've got this new release that came out. It's a new major release. Help us get the word out. So, you know, maybe it's doing a, you know, press release. Maybe it's helping them, you know, do a blog. You know, maybe it's posting something to Twitter, you know, reviewing emails to the announce list. So stuff like that. And so that's kind of the marketing that we kind of perform. It's basically just to get an awareness of our products and of, you know, other communities and try and reinforce, you know, more users. You know, hopefully some of those will, you know, contribute, you know, bug reports or, you know, code patches, then they'll become committers, and then, you know, they'll become members of the foundation and try and get, you know, that kind of that ecosystem going.
That's really great. I have to ask, though, since we have you on the podcast, I have to ask how it's been working with Microsoft.
So actually kind of, you know, last year, you know, at OSCON, you know, we kind of made a big announcement that Microsoft was going to be a platinum sponsor of the Apache Software Foundation, and they kind of joined Google and Yahoo as other platinum sponsors. And, you know, that's been a very welcome thing. But I think kind of the more relevant and even the more interesting thing is we're now seeing Microsoft employees contributing to Apache projects. And I think that's the bigger takeaway from the sponsorship. Yes, it's great that, you know, Microsoft has been willing to, you know, be a fiscal sponsor, but I think it's even more important that we're starting to see Microsoft, you know, contribute productively to open source projects. So, you know, they have they've made contributions to a project called, you know, Hadoop HBase. They've made contributions to a project called Apache Stonehenge, which is currently in incubation. They've kind of been doing some guidance and feedback and kind of Windows support for a project called ActiveMQ. Apache Qubit. And then there is a project called POI, which basically Microsoft has kind of hired a kind of a third party to kind of contribute on their behalf some kind of the Microsoft kind of XML formats supports to the POI project.
So I'm curious to get your opinion. Our listeners know that I don't think Microsoft's actually changing. I think it's all manipulation tactics. But I'd like to hear your view and give the listeners a chance to hear somebody else on it. Do you think Microsoft's really changing into a company similar to the other ones that we've known to contribute to free software and open source for a long time?
I think they're changing. You know, are they there? Are they, you know, kind of, you know, positive towards, you know, open source, as say, you know, a Google is? No, not necessarily, but they're getting there. And I think, you know, you're kind of seeing this kind of progression. And it says, you know, a year ago, you know, no Microsoft people were really contributing to Apache project. Now there's a whole handful of them a year later. So something's changing. And I think kind of, you know, I think kind of our role is with the open source community is to encourage everybody to participate. And, you know, kind of, you know, Microsoft has come to the table and said, you know, hey, we have these ideas, and, you know, they've been able to work with kind of the other people within the community to do good things. So, you know, my kind of philosophy is to kind of, you know, let their actions speak. And I think we're seeing that kind of, you know, they are contributing to projects, and, you know, if they, you know, kind of get good vibes from that, hopefully they'll be contributing to even more projects.
Speaking of encouraging everybody to participate and contribute, when were the dates on the conferences that you have coming up?
So again, we have an event in Oakland, the ApacheCon US, in the first week of November, and you can go to www.apachecon.com, and they'll have all the information. We kind of have our schedule up. It's kind of a whole week long of trainings and tutorials and kind of sessions, but as well, we're going to have a number of kind of meetups, kind of big boss in the evening, especially because we're going to be in the Bay Area, and this is kind of where we had our first ApacheCon many years ago. You know, so we're going to be trying to do a lot of things that are open to the public and free for anybody to stop by and join us.
Yeah, I think that's a neat idea, having it where the first one was. In fact, it was just the 10-year anniversary of OzCon back in the same place where OzCon started. And we were all there last week and or 2 weeks ago when people hear this. And I thought it was neat to be back in the same place. So I think that's a neat idea to do that 10 years later. It shows the consistency of free software and open source over the years.
Justin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
I think it's so interesting to hear about how the Apache Software Foundation is structured. I love contrasting and comparing the different umbrella organizations in free software. It's great to see how there are different organizations set up differently for different needs.
Yeah, I really want there to be options in this space. When a project wants to affiliate with a nonprofit, there shouldn't be one cookie cutter choice. I would rather see lots of organizations offering different options. I think some of the options Apache offers are really useful. If you're under the Apache license anyway, and you want, for example, access to the mentoring possibilities inside
Apache.
That
sounded very
really
interesting, yeah.
Yeah, there aren't many projects that do a lot of mentoring like that of new developers. And they're also mentoring companies into getting involved, which is good, too, because a lot of times company developers, they've lived inside the walls of that company for long enough that they don't understand what it's like to get involved with a free software project. So to provide that level of mentoring, I think, is very useful as well.
Yeah, also, I didn't realize until quite recently that that Apache encompassed so many projects. That's pretty great. It's really important, I think, for there to be places for free software projects to go, so we don't have, you know, if each of those had their own organization, it would just be such a tremendous amount of work to look after all of them.
Yeah, and just like I've always argued against license proliferation, which is now in fancy, everybody's against license proliferation. Nonprofit organization proliferation is a problem in our community as well. So we don't want to have too many, but we have to have a certain number, the right number.
That's what I was about to say, that there has to be an organization for each variation on the model.
Yeah, I think that's something we're still figuring out as a community. You know, licenses took us a certain amount of time to figure out what class of licenses should be the right number of licenses, and some people would say we're still arguing that. But certainly in the organization space, we haven't decided what's the right number of nonprofits to handle all the free and open source software projects that exist.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a different question, too. It doesn't translate one-to-one because we're not, you know, any given project can choose, you know, it becomes very confusing when there are so many licenses, whereas with organizations, provided there are the resources to look after them, there isn't the same kind of confusing downside.
Yeah, I agree with that, definitely. I just see the similarity in that there's these peaks and troughs of people wanting to do something new and wanting to use what's already there. Mm-hmm. That's the main comparison I'm making, not necessarily any of the details. I think you're right, all the details are different, and there's not a way to analogize there.
Well, no, I think it'll be interesting to see how different organizations develop.
Yeah.
As more and more adopt the free software model, the free software nonprofit model.
Yep. Yeah. And hopefully there'll be lots more. And of course, there'll hopefully be more outside the U.S. as well. You know, Apache's inside the U.S. And if you're not in the U.S., being affiliated with a U.S. nonprofit may or may not be right for you.
Right.
So I hope we can, in the future, talk to more people involved with these kinds of nonprofits. I hope we will.
And we'll see you next time.
We won't see them. We'll just talk to them.
We'll talk to you next time.
That's right. Okay. The Software Freedom Law Show is produced by Dan Lynch of HalfBakedMedia.com. Thanks to Mike Tarantino for our theme music. This show is released under the terms of the Creative Commons Attribution, No Derivative Works 3.0 United States license.